Amen. God is good. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 14. I want to preach tonight on what if you would just obey God. Missed opportunities and times that through procrastination or through apathy or complacency, we miss the opportunity that God gives to us. An opportunity that's a divine moment to bless or to move or to work in some way. In 1 Samuel 14, I want to pull out the story of Jonathan, his armor bearer, who went out to fight only them against a garrison of the Philistines. Amen. Let me read, amen, just a portion of Scripture. I want to preach out of the whole entire text of it. But the Bible said in verse 1, "Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan the son of Saul said unto the young man that bare his armor, Come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison, that is on the other side. But he told not his father." Now look at verse 4. "And between the passes is by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other was Shinnid." And look at verse 6. "And Jonathan said to the young man that bared his armor, Come, let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." Can you say amen? What if, oh my, living the Christian life is an exciting life, is it not? And God is a God that is supernatural and a God that moves in supernatural ways, does he not? And I believe that many times in the Pentecostal realm, because of the abuse of the supernatural, or the abuse, if I put it this way, of the gifts and the abuse of things, it has caused us to back away and almost not allow God to move within our lives in the capacity that he really would like to move in. It's caused us to miss opportunities of God showing his mighty strong hand, because we've just felt others have abused and we don't want to be labeled with them. Come on now. Amen. But because they abused it does not mean God still doesn't move today. Can you say amen? He's the same today as he was yesterday. He'll be the same tomorrow. He changeth not. Can you say amen? I got caught up in that where I quit laying hands on people for a little while because of some shenanigans that was going on in our area. And God rebuked me and said, "You should not do that. You've allowed the devil to rob you, amen, and the people you shepherd by not doing what I command you to do." Can you say amen? I believe that God will make us bold and God will give us opportunities to minister and opportunities for him to show himself strong. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You know, Jonathan, the Bible said it came to pass on a day, just an ordinary day, but they were in a battle, but there was a stronghold and the Israelites were not moving. The Bible said that Saul was tarried and he was under a pomegranate tree and he just kind of didn't know what to do. And he was at a standstill. And I don't fault Saul in a sense because he was a little afraid probably and didn't know quite what to do. The Philistines had taken all of the weapons almost. They had taken the blacksmiths out of Israel and not allowed them to make any other weapons. And so the enemy kind of had an upper hand on them in a sense, amen. But I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter what the situation looks like. It doesn't matter if it looks like
like the devil has an upper hand. There is a God on your side. Come on now. There is a God that is on your side, and He will rise up, and your enemies shall scatter. You're never outnumbered when you've got God. And you're never outmanned when you got God. You're never underpowered when you got God. Can you say amen? And so I've been like Saul, with my head hung down, kind of procrastinating, and just not moving when I ought to be moving. Because I just kind of got a little lead in my spiritual, amen, bless God, shoes, if I could put it that way. And I just got a little burnt, or something might have happened that affected me a little bit, and I just kind of lost the boldness, or lost the stirring of my faith.
Oh, I think I'll stay up here. I feel better up here. Y'all look bad back there. Amen. Come on now. You understand what I'm trying to say tonight? When the Lord laid this message on my heart, I thought, Lord, this is just kind of meddling message in a sense, but there's a truth here. Many of God's children miss the opportunity of miracles and miss the opportunity of God showing Himself strong in their life simply because they procrastinate. Simply because they will not move. Look at your neighbor and tell them all you got to do is move. Now let me put a disclaimer here if I can before I go any farther. I'm not going to preach to you that all you do is step out and do this and that. No, 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 no. Under the direction of God. Come on now. I'm not going to say that faith makes you can declare anything and God's going to just do what you say. I ain't going down that road. But I think the reason why they've abused the faith movement, they've abused the faith message, and they've caused us to back away and become timid, where we ought to say, Lord, move on my behalf. Can you say amen? So the Bible said it came to pass upon a day. Jonathan got a thought. Oh, God put something in his heart and stirred him to believe, amen, that the battle could be won. Can you say amen? Look at your neighbor and tell him this ain't over. God will help us. God will put inside of us a stirring and let faith arise in us to believe that God will rise up and fight our battle. Come on now. Hallelujah. Amen. I know there's been abuse. I sat down with a man years ago that called me to his house. And a preacher had flown in from Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, and held revival meetings. And then the next thing you know, he split the church and built his own church there. Yeah, he was a rascal. And he's one of them kind that just fleece the flock, you know. And this man got caught up in that stuff. Faith movement, all of that stuff that was going on at that time. And he gave his whole house payment. Now, I'm not downing that. There have been times God told me to give all. But God told me. Not some flim-flam, slick-talking evangelist. God told me. Come on now, you ought to say amen, amen on that. But see, he was so caught up in the hype that he didn't let God speak to him, and he gave his whole house payment and just about lost his house. Because this rascal did not just take it 1 month, he took it every month. And so for 4 months' time, this man gave the preacher his house payment. And now when he called me up, he's crying, they're about ready to come and take his house away. And the preacher has now flew on a vacation to Florida and can't even be reached. Come on now. Do you see why I say we got to be careful? But yet I do not deny that we need faith. And that faith pleases God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we need bold faith, do we not? But I understand if you've been crippled in the area of faith.
And I understand if something's happened that's caused you to be a little timid and a little apprehensive of stepping out because you might have missed it or whatever. I understand that. Come on now. There ain't anybody probably in this tabernacle that's missed it more than me. I'm the chiefest of missers, if there's such a word. Huh? I have been through all kinds of hurts, all kinds of scars, and I carry a lot of wounds with me because of things that just weren't right. And I thought, oh, I'll get in on that. And it wasn't God. Don't look down at me. Someone said, we don't want him no more. Well, I'm just being honest with you. Your faith can get damaged to the place where you just sit in the pew and you never activate it any longer. You sit in neutral and like Saul sitting under a pomegranate tree, not knowing how to move, not knowing when to move, and miss opportunities of God's blessings. The devil doesn't have to cause you to backslide if he can just get you to sit in a pew and quit believing God. If he can just get you to sit there and lose your joy, lose your victory, lose your faith, then he's accomplished something. Come on now. When's been the last time God stirred you to do something, to set your hand, to do something that seemed impossible, that seemed, my God, this don't make no sense, but you're dealing with me to do it, and I'm stepping out to do it. Can you say amen? I want to stir somebody's faith in here tonight to step out and believe God, that God can do what he says he can do. Can you say amen? We need some more Jonathans in the church that'll dare to believe God, that'll dare to step out and say to the Lord, I believe you're the God that can do the impossible, a God that can step in to situations that seem impossible and perform miracles. Can you shout hallelujah? Anybody believe you serve a God like that tonight? A God of the impossible, a God that is almighty, a God that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above what you ask or think. Hallelujah. He got an idea. God dropped something in his spirit. And so I understand there's been abuse. I understand there's been abuse. But I have seen too much to doubt God. Come on now. And you have to. And yet we've all been there when our spirit just seemed like, Lord, I don't know which way to go. I'd like to step out and believe God. I'd like to do this. We're almost like the man that said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. That almost sounds contradictory, does it not? But I've been there with him. I can almost say, just step out of your shoes and let me get in your shoes. Because I've been there and cried out, Lord, I believe, but unbelief, it seemed like it's grieving me and coming and vexing me. And I just can't, that fear is gripping me. I just can't seem to step out because there's a fear. There's a fear there. I believe Jonathan felt fear. I'm going to tell you, two against a garrison, against 20 men, is odds against you. Can you say amen? But God stirred the heart of Jonathan because nothing was moving, and God stirred his heart to move on out. And I'm here to tell you tonight and give you some counsel. You don't move till God says move. But if God says move, guess who's gone before you? Guess who's prepared the way? Guess who's going to provide and do something supernatural and make a way where there seemed to be no way? There's a difference when you step out in your own presumption and just kind of pursue them. And there's a difference when God says, and you've got a witness down inside, that this is a God thing. This is a divine moment. This is divine direction. Everybody around you can say it's crazy, but you know inside of you, if there's a yes, there's a yes, there's a yes, and you must move forward. Come on now. I'm glad God takes you out of the abnormal and takes you into out of the normal into the abnormal sometimes. I'm glad that serving God, these can be exciting. Can you say amen? With divine appointments and divine moments and seasons of victory. Amen. Hallelujah. But I understand the danger. Yes, I do. Amen. Praise God. I understand the balance. And I preach a balance in it. Because I've had people get all worked up and think they're doing something and about ready to step out and make a major disaster. And almost have someone look down and say, Brother Bree, you've got no faith. You're hindering their faith. I'm not hindering it. I'm just finding out where it's at. Come on now. Is faith on some emotion or some hype? Or is faith on a God that is able? Come on now. Jonathan just didn't move on impulse. He didn't just move on emotion. As a matter of fact, he was not the originator of this thought. I guarantee you, Jonathan didn't go to bed that night and say, I'll wake up in the morning and fight 20 men. I think I'll just go out there by myself and me and the armor bearer and face 20 men and start a battle. I believe, bless God, he wasn't thinking that way. God originated the thought. And I'm here to tell somebody tonight, I don't even know why I'm heading down this way, but I'm going to try to help somebody. God put that in you. God gave you that vision. God gave you that promise. God spoke that word to you. And bless God, stand on it and believe God, because God will not fail you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He will not fail you. But sometimes we miss the opportunities. Years ago, God spoke to me to go up the river and start another church when I passed through Bloomsburg. And I kept hesitating. And Lord, I can't. Financially, I told him everything. Another preacher friend of mine went up and started one. Seemed like for a season of time, everything God dealt with me to do, and I dragged my feet, he'd have that preacher do it. Just to show me. Now, Brother Horky's up there. He was trying to do something up in Hazleton 20-something years later. And I apologized to him. I said, Brother, you wouldn't be up here working so hard if I'd obeyed God 20-something years ago. We live with that, do we not? Of missed opportunities. But we shouldn't let them haunt us or torment us. It just should teach us something, should it not? When God opens a door, walk through it. When God opens up an opportunity, step out. Obey God. Don't question. Don't doubt. I really battled with this message because I wanted to preach and keep on going in the Holy Ghost. And the Lord said, you preach this for somebody tonight that needs direction. Somebody needs to know. Someone needs a fire lit under them just to get up and go. Can you say amen? They're in complacency and apathy. I didn't say you're backslid or a bad member of the church. I'm just saying you shifted to neutral. And I don't understand maybe what happened to you. What hurt you? What happened? I don't know. But I've been there myself. And I needed God to stir me and say, come on up. Get up and move forward.
Amen. I've been there when people have said to me, you're out of your mind. I've been there when the brethren said to me, I think you've missed God. Me and Brother Danny Alvo set a tent up down in Clear Springs, and the brethren said, you missed God down here. And Brother Danny probably thought his pastor missed God too. Amen. Because we down here, hot as all get out, 100 degrees and above, all week long. Maybe had 15 people was the biggest crowd we had. I'm going to tell you, one of the Church of God preachers pulled in the parking lot, and I was gone. I had to go back up to do some business and told Brother Danny, who's put this tent up? And Brother Danny Over told him, my pastor did, and we're holding a tent meeting here. He said, there's nothing going on around here since Oral Roberts was back holding the tent. And boy, trying to really discourage Brother Danny. I'm going to tell you what, when you're sleeping on benches and you're babysitting a tent and storms are coming through, you don't need a Job's comforter coming on by, driving a Cadillac with air conditioning and roll the window down while he's pounding steaks and saying, nobody's done nothing down here since Oral Roberts. So when I pulled in, Brother Danny told me all about it, and I could see he was just, you know, a touch discouraged a little bit. I was too, but I didn't tell him I was. You know, if he'd have realized how discouraged I was, he might have packed his bag and said, let's go home, Pastor. But I was discouraged myself. But it degraded me. Something stirred in me. I said, the next time he comes, you tell him, Oral Roberts didn't finish it. We come back to finish when he left. I can't stand somebody that'll put down and just discourage somebody from trying to do something for God. Young preachers try to do something for God, and the old preachers analyze them and scrutinize them and put them up like a barbecue and hang them up to dry. And come on now. Amen. We had one of our young preachers, he wanted to hold a tent meeting, praise God. And I said, that's great, Pastor. Pastor said, yeah, that's great. You go help him and babysit it. Come on now. Amen. Encourage. But sometimes we don't find no encouragement, do we? We get a word and we want to step out, and we find more people to convince us of why we shouldn't step out and why. Well, you got a good job, or you got a good this. Well, you got your roots down. That can't be God. I want to tell you, yes, try the spirits and see whether they're God. Yes, out of the mouth of two or three, let every word be established. Yeah, but I'm sure not going to stand between God and a man who's called, or the word of God, or what God has said into somebody. I've got enough sense to know that if it's God, then it doesn't have to all make sense. It just has to make it be God. Can you say amen? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Hey, too long the church has not crossed the line or got up and done anything. Amen. Come on now. We're passive. We've been lukewarm, just sitting and saying, Lord, well, if it be you, then Lord, somebody needs to get stirred and get up and move. Come on now.
I'm telling my folks from this on out, I said to them, God needs to start talking to you. So every Sunday night I ask them, has God been talking to you? I want to know. Give you a word this week. Speak to you some way through the Bible. And I put them on the spot. I'm getting hot and heavy on them. And I said, okay. And they said, we don't like this preacher. I said, yeah, you expect me to come with a word every week, but you come high and dry and dead and don't come with nothing. I put that, switched it around on them. You come with something now. Some of them said, you know what? God's finally starting to talk to me, and the Word is coming alive. And man, God's dropping things in my spirit. And now it's going to get to the place where I'm going to have to shut it down a little bit and kind of curb some, because man, it's starting to get on board now. Can you say amen? I like to see that. Don't you? Jonathan did not have some preconceived, some kind of egotistic mindset to where he's going to just go up there. And I'm going to tell you, faith is balanced. Faith is balanced. It ain't some kind of harebrained thing out there that you just get. It ain't a figment of your imagination or something you get by eating too much pepperoni pizza. The word of the Lord will get inside of you, and you will know without a doubt that God has said. God has no problem making His point and telling you and convincing you. You got the problem of listening.
Come on now. So Jonathan rose up that morning with a word. He rose up with a word. Maybe not the word he wanted, but it was a word. The word he probably wanted was, raise up and all 600 men, let's go. Tell Daddy Saul, get out of that pomegranate tree and quit snoozing there and let's get moving. But the word was, Jonathan, only you and your armor bearer is going to go. Come on now. You may be the answer to your prayer, and you may be the one that God says, all right, you're the only one. Now you step out. Lord, I wish more people in my church would step out. God said, you step out. See who follows. And if they don't follow, Nathan, just step out anyhow. Believe God. Don't ever let those powders and doubters and sad sacks get a hold of you. Rob you of your joy. It's exciting serving the Lord. It's exciting getting out of the boundaries of the normality and just the humdrum. It's exciting. My God's not humdrum. And if you'll serve Him, it's exciting to serve Him. He moves in a supernatural way, does He not? It's exciting. He'll take you to the edge. Oh man, He'll stir you. My pastor used to say, and he still says, sometimes God scares us, but it's good. He'll take you to the edge and have to scare you. Come on now. been the last time God spoke to you and has stirred you and caused you to rise up a little higher and stretched you? Come on, stretch you. Stretch your faith to reach out and believe beyond the normality. Come on now. If it's been too long, then it's been too long. Because God is speaking and stirring and wants to move through His people. Now, I ain't talking, you know what? The shame of the matter is the good people, it seems like they're timid to move. And the people that are squirrely as all get out are moving. Huh? It's like a spiritual rodeo. I got to bring them back in. Woo-hoo! Come on back there. Come on back here. Come on. Come on back. God's speaking to them about all kinds of things. Pastor, we need a daycare. Come on back in here. Pastor, we need a school. Come on back in here. Pastor, God spoke to me this and that. Oh, come on back in here. Praise God. Seems like God's speaking every day to them. And God's talking to them. And am I the only one that God don't talk to every day? He don't talk to me every day verbally or in my heart. He talks to me through the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. But some of them, they act like He talks to them every day. Huh? Sits down and drinks a cup of coffee and says, while I was drinking coffee, God talked to Charlie. And Charlie said to God, here I am, God. And God said to Charlie, go pay your electric bill. Well, I pay my electric bill whether God tells me or not. You know what I'm trying to say? See, that squirrely stuff scares us and causes us. I'll be truthful with you, Brother Rob. When I get out in meetings and the gifts of the Spirit get operating, sometimes I got to think it back in my head. I wonder if these folks will really accept me or run me out on the rail because, you know, they've had bad experiences. As in one church prophesying, God was using me and the evangelist before me, he prophesied all the leadership out of that church. Every one of them was going to start a church. Right down to the janitor. And the pastor said to me, bless God, who am I going to have left in the church? I said, man, I said, that's unusual. Usually God will leave you a few. I said, I've heard the devil clean the house, but man, God. Now, could you imagine being a pastor and having an evangelist to pacify? He passed, there you go, you got it. Pop. Yeah, I couldn't even get it out because it wasn't right in the first place. That's why I couldn't get it out right. Could you imagine that? Thus saith the Lord. He comes to your church. Nathan, he goes to Nathan, you're going to build a church. Then goes to Zach, you'll build a church. And then Joy, you'll build a church. Next thing you know, he tells your wife, you'll build a church and you won't be here playing the organ. And then next thing you know, the prophecy comes to you. You'll be standing here all alone, but be faithful, son, with a comb and tissue paper and just blow on it. And praise God. I'll send you a monkey with a grinder or something. Ah, God have mercy. Who'd want an evangelist like that? Come on now. But I'm telling you, but that squirrely stuff should not rob us from listening to God. Come on now. You know, in the prison, though, the head of security said to me, you know, we've given you a good job. And I said, sir, you didn't give me nothing. God put me here. And he said to me, no, we hired you. And I said, you didn't hire me for nothing. I said, God put me here. And I proceeded to tell him of a vision that God gave me before I took the position. That God showed me a field full of men with brown as far as you could see. And God said, I've opened the door and a harvest field and I'm telling you to go in for a season of time. And I told that general, Haman, he's a general, whatever he is, he's a general. And I said to him, sir, I'm here as long as God has me. God put me here and I'll be here as long as God has me. And then when God's done, I'm out of here. Haman, bless God. He said, what if we raise your salary? You couldn't pay me enough, I said, to disobey God. God put me here and God will take me out of here because I'm only here for a season. Can you shout hallelujah? You must wait on the Lord, but when the Lord says move, you gotta move. You can't wait. You can't procrastinate. The anointing will lift. That option will lift and it'll be harder to move when you don't move when you should. Come on now. Everybody say, I've got to move. One thing about Brother Miller, he always taught you, you moved. He moved fast too.
I always thought Brother and Sister Miller was old. You know what I'm saying? They were old when I came. You know, but they weren't really that old, but they were old. It just seemed like this old. But Brother Miller could move. He could move in a prayer line. One time we was trying to help him with a prayer line, and he moved. He stacked them up like cord lumber, you know. Boom, boom, boom. I mean, he moved for a little fella, kind of like, you know, kind of short and whatever. And you think, this guy, you know, he won't move so fast. Man, he moved. When the Spirit of God hit him, he hit 10 heads before I ever got to the third one. And they were going down, man. And he said to me, you can't run an altar. What's wrong with you? I said, I didn't think you was that fast, but tomorrow night, you'll not do this to me. Because I watched him, my eyes didn't never leave him, Brother Eastman. When I seen that movement, that jerk, that thing, I thought, my God, here we go. And when he went, I went with him. And I went every step, and I was right with him. And that night he smiled, man, a big old smile, and said, you can run an altar call, brother. I said, well, now I know, amen, praise God, how you run an altar call. Amen. I remember one time, Pastor Hugo run them like that too, pretty fast, but Brother Miller just a little faster. Everything was a little fast. Sister Miller would sing Power in the Blood so fast, I couldn't even breathe. She'd be pounding that organ. Sing, come on, brother. I said, you got to breathe somewhere. I turned her red. I'm sucking for wind. She said, speed it up. I said, that song's going so fast. I don't think there's a beat anymore. So I'm going to tell you, Brother and Sister Miller had no problem moving. Huh? Come on now. When the move was on, the move was on. And you better get out of the way, because he's going to run you over. And I think Jonathan, when he woke up that morning, that word got in him, and he said to his armor bearer, we got something to do here. I ain't even going to tell Dad, because I know Dad will just talk down on it. And now let me tell you something. The best thing you can do when God speaks to you is tell nobody first. And just be still and wait on God. And when God says move, then move. Huh? But when you start talking to people and asking their opinion, then you'll get confused. Huh? Well, you'd found that out there, you know? Should I go to the Dominican or not? You ask more people and they'll have all kinds of opinions. Then all of a sudden I'm confused. Huh? But God said, as older leaders, we don't want to stifle that, but we just want to use a little wisdom and say, okay, God said, but now we got to put in preparation now. How we do this? Let's believe God. Let's get in. Come on now. We don't put stifle it. Well, God don't talk to you. Yes, He does. Well, God didn't speak to you. Come on now. We don't want to be that way. Jonathan didn't tell his father because he knew the spirit of his father. And you need to have discernment to know who to tell and who not to tell and when to tell it. Or you're going to get very discouraged. Come on now. It may be even leaders above you that might be discourage you in a sense. They may not mean to, but they just may not catch a hold. So you've just got to, you got to be careful what you say. Can you say amen? So Jonathan said, I'm going up. But we're not telling Dad. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm undercover right now. Praise God. God spoke to me, and I've got something in my heart, and it's burning in me, but I'm undercover. I can't tell nobody. Amen. Just me and God is secret right now. I haven't even told my pastor quite yet, because I just don't feel quite right to tell him yet. So I'm just going to hold it in here and wait on the Lord and see what God has. Can you say, God is a spontaneous God too. He moves in spontaneous ways, but it's really not spontaneous. Because he already knows what he's going to do. It's spontaneous to you, but not to him. Can you say amen? And sometimes he moves that way so that you can't think about it. Huh? Sometimes he moves that way because if he gave you time, you'd think about it. And you just wouldn't move. Come on now.
But you need to prepare yourself for the last days. Because in these last days, God is going to use you more out of the church than ever in the church. And there's going to be divine moments where the Spirit of God is going to come upon you. And God is going to say, this is a work right now. Step in. Do a quick work right now. You need to say something to them. Or do something. My sister-in-law, Carol Jean, blessed me the other day. She got up and testified and said, the Lord's been stirring me. And said, He spoke to me. I went in the hospital. I was going in there, and the Lord said, look across the street. And there was an older lady over there, I think the story's right, and said, the Lord said, run across the street and pray for her.
Now you have to know Carol Jean. You know, that's unusual. Man, she ran across the street and grabbed the little hand of that old lady and said, can I pray for you? Tears started coming down her face. Spirit of God. She didn't pray a long prayer, just a short prayer, but a prayer. But God used her spontaneously. Come on now. Maybe God will use you spontaneously. Come on now. Amen. Can God use you? Are you flexible enough? Or are you in a rut? Do you, oh God, don't tell me till 3 days before. I got to prepare. Be instant. Come on. Come on now. Be instant there. Get flexible there. Hallelujah. Let God be balanced in it. Amen. A lot of our young preachers that are coming up like Brother Benny and some of them, I say to them, you need to be a better, more than a one-tool thing per preacher. More than a one-trick pony. Come on now, if I can put it that way. If you can be multiple use of God, then God will use you in many ways. Can you say amen? But if you get stuck in a rut and your doctor don't use you one way, then that's the only way He can use you. But you need to be flexible and say to God, you can use me any way you want to. The gifts and the talents and the things that you've equipped in me are yours, and I give them back to you, Lord, so you can move on me any time. Can you say amen? Oh, when you get that attitude, what a day will hold. You don't know. You don't know what a day will hold. Amen. But God will begin to move supernaturally. Can you say amen? He'll begin to move in supernatural, divine ways. Divine ways. God's ways. Amen. I was in a meeting. I went to a meeting. They invited me to a 10th anniversary revival meeting. A 10th anniversary of this pastor, friend of mine and his wife, who built a church on Scalp Avenue near Johnstown. Amen. Bless God. I was in a camp meeting 10 years before that. When I stepped in front of them, and the Lord gave me a word. And the word came out of me, and said, thus saith the Lord, I'm about ready to bust the walls and build a church. They were in a little garage at the time, struggling, hardly making it. Amen. And I didn't know anything. But God gave me the word. Within a few months' time, they bought an Italian restaurant and remodeled it and have a big ministry up there now. Praise God. Joshua Place for them. Amen. Bless God. But I want to tell you this much. When I went to that 10th anniversary, I was rejoicing. I'm thanking God for what God does. When the little things become big things, and how God blesses and moves, and how they moved by faith to believe God. Amen. When God said, I'm going to bust the wall and do it, they stepped out and believed God, and God helped them. Can you say amen? But I'm talking about divine, supernatural things that happen to you. And while in that meeting, I have my cell phone in my pocket. Most time I leave it in the car because I don't like to be bothered. Even when I put it on vibrate, it bothers me. I put it on, I haven't learned to put it on silence yet. Amen. Bless God. I need them to teach me that. But I didn't leave it in the car. I forgot and had it in my pocket. By the time of the altar call service, it began to vibrate. I was up there around where the preacher was. He's praying for the sick. And I thought, my Lord, I ain't answering that. I ain't even bothering that. That's bothering me. I should have left it in the car. Kept vibrating. Amen. I said, I ain't going to answer that. And finally, all of a sudden, the Lord said, you take that call. I grabbed that cell phone. I walked out in the parking lot, answered the phone, hello, can I help you? And there was a woman on the other end crying. And she said, who are you? And I said, who are you? She said, I was calling so-and-so. I said, you don't have so-and-so, you have me. She said, who are you? I said, I'm a pastor. And I just stepped out of a revival meeting because you called my number. She said, I didn't call your number. I called this number. She read the number off, and I said, no, ma'am, you called this number. And then all of a sudden in that parking lot, I felt the power of God. And God said, I called her number.
I said, ma'am, I don't know you from nobody, but this is a divine appointment. God has somehow crossed wires and called me. I said, they don't answer my phone for nobody in a service. But I said, God told me to take this call, so I'm going to take it. I said, what's going on with you? She began to cry. Said, my husband got killed. He was a policeman. Got killed in the line of duty. Said, I've been depressed ever since. And I was ready to commit suicide. And she said, I felt some tell me, call this number. She said, I thought I called this number, but it must be I called you. I said, God loves you so much, He crossed wires and got you a Pentecostal preacher on the other line. And I said, amen, life's too precious to give up. I said, God loves you. And in that living room, I led her to the Lord over the phone. I don't know her name. I've never seen her, never visited her. Amen, praise God. But in that parking lot when they were dismissing service, I was shouting out there, worshiping God and praying and casting the devil depression off of her and believing God to move and work in her life. Do you hear me? I mean, people were looking at me like I was crazy, but I'm here to tell you, those are divine moments. Those things are going to happen more because God is a supernatural God and He'll move in supernatural ways. Can you say amen? Oh my God, if you want to ring my phone, if you want to call my number, if you want to send me somebody that's about ready to end it, and all I got to do is answer it, that's all right with me, Lord. I believe we're living in a day of angelic, supernatural things happening.
Can you say amen? Oh, Lord. As soon as I got off the phone with her, man, I was praising the Lord out there. Pastor, come out. Brother Brady, what's going on? Seen you leave fast. I said, you won't believe what I'm about ready to tell you. He said, I don't, man. That's strange. Soon I got down the road, I called my wife because I did. I thought I better call her because a strange woman called me. Better touch bases. She ever checked my phone. Well, whose number is this? I said, honey, you ain't going to believe this. I said, but a strange woman called my number. Ain't very many people know my number. But evidently, God knows my number. Woo! And AT&T and Verizon went this way, and God just switched it around. Angels just put it together somehow. Grabbed the signal and threw it over here. Praise God. Hallelujah. To somebody who put the cell phone, yeah, if I'd have put it in the car, I'd have never answered it. God let me forget it and be in there. It aggravated me, sister. I ain't answering this thing because I don't like cell phones going off. You know what I'm saying? I ain't answering this thing. And finally God said, you answer that. I'm glad I answered it. Can you say amen? Oh, I'm glad I'm moved. Come on now. I'm glad I moved. Hallelujah. There's divine moments. There's supernatural moments. There's miracles in the making in your life. There's a day where God will divinely, supernaturally move for you. Can you say amen?
Let me tell you another story. Brother Hawk said I tell a lot of them. One night in our church, we was praying for the leadership of our state. Congressmen, and we got little old widows that write congressmen. They write our senators in Pennsylvania and governor and president. President Bush sent us a picture. Obama even did. I was surprised that he had time enough to get off the golf course to even send me a picture, but he did. And we were praying for our leaders, and suddenly the Spirit of God come on me, and it come out of me before I realized what I even said, Brother Frazier. And the word was this: tomorrow I said to them, I will stand before a leader of this state, and God is going to give me the opportunity to pray for him. When he come out, I thought, my God, what did I just say? Huh? Because we just down in the Hicks, you know. And them big shots from Harrisburg, they ain't coming up our way too much. You know what I'm saying? No offense, John. We just a little people up our way. Don't worry about us. I was down in Wimber Library had to return something. It was overdue. Been overdue for a while. It's a kind of procrastinator I am. And finally, all of a sudden, I found it and said, I got to make a special trip down to Wimber. And I got into Wimber. I put it on there. I paid my dues, which, my Lord, I said, I ain't going to eat lunch today. I better be careful to ever leave a book here again. I'm walking out, and I bump right into Governor Rendell. I just about got shot by the security. And I stepped back and said, Governor Rendell. Yes, sir. I said, God bless you. We've been praying for you. May God bless you. May God help you. He said, thank you, sir. The security said, move away, sir. I said, I'll move away now. Because I've done what I was supposed to do. Man, I felt the presence of God all over me. I felt like a king. I felt like royalty, man. Woo! I didn't even get an appointment. I wasn't even on his appointment roll. I ran right in to the governor of the state. But I knocked old Fast Eddie over, praise God. But I knocked him over. So one of them gets shot. But God was with me, see. It was a divine moment. Hallelujah. I went to church that Sunday, told them old widows, man, I tell you what, they got to praying. Oh man, one of them said to me, there's still a chance. I said, what? She said, I feel like someday I'll meet the president and talk to him. And now I'm encouraged. I believe someday it may happen for me. Praise God. I said, it may. Who knows? Come on now. Who knows where God may put you? Who knows how God may use you? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let me tell you another story of divineness. Amen. Amen. Praise God. In our area of Central City, we got a terrible drug problem. And the pushers were up the street, and they were beaten then. I tell you, man come down all bloody beaten by a ball bat, drug problem. And I said, I had enough of this. I began to pray and say to the church, we got to pray that God will help us here. And all of a sudden in prayer, God give me a number. And I thought, Lord, God said, write it down. I wrote the number down, and I said to my wife, Amen, you need to call this number. Amen, praise God. I said, I don't know why. I heard them call her and said, you need to call this number. I'm in prayer, but you call it. She called that number right up into Washington, right up into drug reinforcement place. But it was a private line that nobody else knows but people in leadership, praise God. When that phone rang, that man answered that phone. He said, how in the world did you get my number? And my wife said, God gave it to my husband in prayer. He said, I'm Catholic, ma'am. And he said, you know what? That's a little radical. And I don't know even how to believe that. But he says, you know what? There ain't no way you could have my number. And said, what can I do for you? And said, we got a drug problem down here in Central City. Where's Central City? Pennsylvania. And he said, he hollered for one of the aides, give me a map. Give me a map, amen. He said, I don't know what to do for you. But he said, you, in this line, evidently there's something. And so we began to talk to her. And said, you know what, we're preachers and we're in trouble down here and we sure like to have a little help. He said, I'll tell you what, I don't know what I can do, but I'll do something because I'm the head of all of it. 10 minutes later, the Pennsylvania department called from Philadelphia. Said, Mrs. Brady, Reverend Brady, yes. Said, we don't know how you got that number because we don't even have that number. Said, but he's very upset, and he's fit to be tied, because there's a place down in your state called Cincinnati, up somewhere, Central City or whatever. Said, I've been having the aides look for it, and we can't even find it on the map. But he's, my wife said, we're sorry we troubled you. We're sorry. We don't want to. No, he said, it's gone beyond trouble now. He said, he told us we have to come. So we can't pay for you to come. No, you don't know, ma'am. We've got to come. He says, we got to come. I'm sending my best agent. He's coming up. He talked to all the law enforcement. Got them all together. Drove down the town and pointed out every drug pusher. And told them, here's where you raid. Here's where you raid. Here's where you raid. Here's where you raid. I mean, sirens and whistles blowing for days, man. Woo! Oh, man. Our street was lit up like a Christmas tree. Ah, they let that old fella be decked with a blunt baseball bat. They let him off in cuffs, praise God, as he drive on by. I said, don't you mess with us Holy Ghost people. You may think we're small little church down here, holy rollers, we don't got no power nor authority. But we touch God, and God touch the power here. Can you say amen? Oh, you don't hear me? I'm talking about God doing supernatural things. Things thought impossible. Things that you would say, my God, what a wonderful thing. This is exceedingly and abundantly above what I've even asked or even think. God is able. Somebody God is able. He's a big God. We made him small, but he's a big God. Can you say that? That agent said, I'm a Catholic. But he had to go all them school assemblies and go with all the church folk. And then the last assembly I got into, because I didn't get into any of them but that one. I was busy and away. I come back and he said to me, you know what? So I was Catholic. I said, my mouth was pretty dirty. He said, but a week with you holy rollers. And he said, I can't cuss. He about ready to cuss and said, I can't do this. Mother Brady will get me. He's already calling Mother Brady. He went to Philadelphia, called back, and said, I'll be back up to help you again. Send us all kinds of stuff. Said, I'll send you everything I possibly can. I'll help you. He called periodically and checked in to see how the community was. Called the mayor, called other people, and said, are you still moving what I told you to do? Praise God. It was out of our ballgame now. We didn't have anything to do with it anymore. He's the watchdog now. Praise God. He had a whole lot of other things to do, but I'll tell you what, Central City was on his map and on his mind because God said, call this number. Can you say amen? God said, step on out. Lord, I feel faith in here now. I feel a big God stepping in here. God said, everybody said, God said, when God said, let there be light in the vastness of darkness, there became light. When God said, when Jesus said, roll that stone away and call Lazarus' name, he come up out of the dead. Can you say amen? Hey, it's one thing for you to say it, but when heaven's behind you, when God is behind you, when the blessing of the Lord is upon what you're doing and the hand of the Lord, there ain't a devil in hell that can stop you. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Hey, why don't we get up and step out upon a great God? I want you to go out of this camp meeting, man, saying, God's going to use me in a supernatural way. Every morning I get up, I want the devil to say, oh God, he's up again. Oh Lord. You go down the streets and get your coffee, it's a divine moment maybe. Sit down at a table at a restaurant, it could be a divine moment. Come on now. Hallelujah. Could be a divine moment. We've got so callous that divine moments leave us and move by and we miss it, do we not? Come on now. We become so timid and cautious because of the people that are over here that kind of little flaky, you know, and they're saying, God, whatever. But I'm going to tell you, I believe God speaks still today. Don't you? I believe He speaks today. I believe His sheep hear His voice and know His voice. And I believe God leads us still today. Just like in the wilderness, by a cloud by day and a fire by night. When God gets a moving, we don't move by that. We're moved by the Spirit. For as many are called, the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Can you say amen? You know what I'm talking about. You've gone down the wrong aisle, but yet it wasn't the wrong aisle. You wound up in the wrong place, but it wasn't the wrong place. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you, God is bigger. And God can move and bless and lead you and guide you. One time I went to the hospital to visit a man. And I got in the wrong room, John. Pastor Andrews got in the wrong room. Talked to a man for 20 minutes. Said, shall we pray? Knelt down, looked at the name tag and said, oh Lord, I got the wrong man here. I said, sir, I've been talking to the wrong man for the last 20 minutes. I said, I'm supposed to be visiting so-and-so. you ain't so-and-so. Tears start running down his face. He said, sir, you're wrong, preacher. You come to the right man. You come to the right man. He said, I'm Lutheran and I don't know Christ. And I don't know what you're talking about. But you come to the right man. I need a miracle. You come to the right man. Power of God hit him and healed him, raised him up. 2 days later, he's out of the hospital. He's the right man. The other man, amen, I never did find him. Praise God. I hope he was all right. I don't know. Praise God. I found the right man. I just accidentally step in sometimes to the divine. Come on. Normal things become abnormal and normal things become holy. Can you say amen? I'm like Moses. I cross the sandy shore, the sandy sand of the desert and walk it every day. And then all of a sudden, it becomes holy ground. And the fiery bush is burning, but not being consumed. And suddenly, I realize I'm standing on holy ground. Standing on holy ground. There's a mighty God that's got a mighty plan that I just stepped into. No super whatever. I just stepped into it. Sister Brenna. No great thing I did. I just stepped into it. Can you say, man? I just stepped into it and said, can I pray for you? I just stepped into it. Hallelujah. Oh, am I the only one? I live an exciting life then, I guess, praise God. Because I'm going to tell you, I run into things. I miss a post office, and I get in the wrong one that I think's the wrong one to mail something that I don't normally go there. But all of a sudden, I talk to the post officer, and she's talking, whatever. And I said, God bless you. I need, can I pray for you? Yeah, summon the right one. God, I don't need to mail my mail in the same one every day. Come on now. I got different ones. And if I miss the one, God said, go here. God had a plan. Can you say amen? There's a lot of times we miss it because we will not move. Jonathan moved. He got up and said, let's move. Can you say amen? You may look goofy. You may look a little odd if you move. People may say, can you imagine Jonathan stepping out of there and saying, we're going to tell them, come on down here. If they tell us, come up, we're going up. So he crawls out of the hole around the rocks. Philistine looking down. I don't want them crazy holy rulers. Hey! Why are you crying out of your rock? Come on up here. And Jonathan said, that's our calling card. Let's go. Huh? Let's go. 20 men say there are only two of them. Ah, you can't whoop a Holy Ghost person. Praise God. When they're on a mission for God. Can you say amen? When the call's on them. And Jonathan stepped out and he ministered. Oh man, you don't hear me tonight. You don't hear me. I had 2 flat tires one time in one night and found myself in a rest area waiting for the third tire to come. Praise God. Amen. And as I sat there depressed and worried and sit this down, I looked over and there was a mother, single mother, amen, with her children. One of them had a high fever and she was worried holding that baby. And I finally just got off the self-pity and said to myself, this is a divine moment. Who has 2 flat tires in one night? My God. Had a mechanic with me from the church. He said, I ain't never riding with you again. Amen. He said, you ride tires bolder than your head. Amen. Amen. But you know what? I said to him, we're missing it here. And I walked over to that lady and said, I see your baby's sick. And we're a preacher. We believe in divine healing. Oh, my baby's had a fever for a while. I'm a little worried. Let's pray for her. And in that rest stop area, we laid our hands on that little baby. Asked God to heal that child. Fever left that child. That mother got to thinking, amen. You hear what I'm saying? Oh, you don't know what a day will hold. Maybe you ought to get up and say, this day is a day of miracles. This is the day the Lord has made. I shall rejoice. Oh, God, this is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice. God is in this day. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Stand to your feet if you will. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. I feel faith in the house tonight. I hope I've encouraged you to believe in a big God to do big things. I miss the days where they talked about the greatness of God, and testimony after testimony. I'd live to see. I'd want to hear those testimonies again. Amen. I share them in proxy, because their mothers and fathers have gone on to Jesus. I share them because there ain't anybody else talking about it now. But as a young person, I thought, oh Lord, here they go again. But oh, to hear it again. To hear how God healed them of cancer. Divine moments. When Daddy Glasgow was dying, he was 91 years old, I believe, our Bible school teacher. Daddy Glasgow was a man of faith, such faith, that he raised apples, and they called him the Apple Man. He sold apples, and he built hundreds of churches with Mission for Christ by selling apples. Frail little man, a giant with God. One year he got so frail, he said to God, he went out to the trees and said, Lord, I don't like the waste. Please, don't let an apple come on the tree this year. I'm just not strong enough. Please. They budded, but not an apple come on. The next year he felt stronger. He got back down that same tree and said, Lord, I feel good this year, so give me double. Give me double. And the branches were bending, and he was selling apples and building churches. When he was dying in the hospital, in a coma, went to visit him. I was 20 years old at the time. Maybe 21, I'm not for sure. I was awful young. So what do I say to a giant? God, what do I say to this man? The nurse said to me, he's not responsive. He's not responding to nobody. He's in a coma, sir. I said, I won't be long. But I want to see him. The Lord spoke to me, go walking down the hallway, and said, read him the 91st Psalm. I said, all right, Lord. Lord said, that's all you got to do. That's all I want you to do. Don't say nothing, just read the 91st Psalm. It's all right, Lord. I walked in there, frail, in a coma. And I said, he that dwelleth. And that little frail hand went up. In the secret place of the Most High. And that little hand went up. Started praising God. His eyes opened. And he said to me, I've been laying in this coma. I hear things around me. He said, but I've been waiting for somebody to come and read that verse. Because he said, the Lord told me that somebody would come and read that verse before I go home. He started crying. Took me by the hand, the little frail hand, and said, it won't be long, I'm leaving. You'll carry the banner. Brother Brady, you're young, but you carry the banner. I'm going now, because I've had my sign. I'll see you on the other side. And he slipped back into the coma. The nurse was sitting at the foot of the bed, tears run down her face. She said, I feel something in this room. And I said, you feel the power of God coming to take a sane home. Within the hour, he was gone. Isn't that the way God is? When my mama was in a coma, and my sister called me, and I spent 2 weeks in the hospital, sleeping in the other hospital bed. They give me a bed, two beds, and let me sleep in the one. And I had to go home for some important business, and I didn't want to go home. And my sister called me and said, Mom's slipped off into a coma. I thought, oh God, I wanted to say goodbye. You know, I wanted to say goodbye. So all the way down the road, that driving 68 heading to Morgantown. I said to God, Lord, you don't have to do it. What would you be so kind and let me say goodbye to my mother? Got down there. They took me to an intensive care room, isolated place. The nurse said, I'm going to brace you. She's not been responsive. She don't know nobody. She's not even responding to your sisters. I said, it's all right. Just leave me alone with her. Went in that room and I said, Mama, I asked the Lord to give me an opportunity to say goodbye and make sure everything's right. I started to cry. My mama opened her eyes with a frail voice, weak. Said, it's all right, son. I'm going home. I'll see you over there. slip back into that coma, never to come back out to it, but on the other side. That's the kind of God we serve. He's a great God, is He not? He's a God of miracles. He's a God, is He not? And loves us, does He not? It's exciting serving Him, isn't it? I can't... Christians that say it's a bore, and I don't know where they're at, because it's exciting. Jonathan probably said to the armor bearer, this is exciting. Let's go. This is exciting. Come up! Yeah! Let's go! Praise God. Oh, to have a church full of Jonathans. Come on, Pastor! Let's believe God for a miracle! Let's go! When God says... You notice I said when God says... Let's go. Hallelujah. I want you to step out of where you're at and come around this altar tonight. And let's believe God. Let's believe for God to move in a supernatural way in some things that we need Him to do. Let's say to God, stir my heart to step out and believe You. I believe the God of the Word of God, the God of the Bible, the God that is able. My God, I'm stepping out on Your Word tonight. I'm coming and saying, Lord, stir me that I may know You and the power of Your resurrection. Oh Lord, when others are complacent and procrastinating and are lukewarm, stir my heart to believe. Stir my heart to believe in a God that is able. Stir my heart to believe in a God that's the same today as He was yesterday. Stir my heart to believe that He's still a Savior, still a deliverer, still a healer. Still a miracle working God. Oh, make Yourself available. Say to God, I believe that You're able to do exceedingly and abundantly. Come on, reach out to a great big God. Someone said, don't hype. Well, I'm not hyping you up. You can't hype God up. God's bigger than all hype. Bigger than all. God is a big God. Trust Him tonight. Come on, what are you believing Him for? We'll agree with you tonight. We'll believe God with you tonight. Just raise your hand toward heaven and say, the Lord, I'm believing You, Lord, for this or that. And begin to cry out to God and say, Lord, maybe it's a loved one that needs saved. Maybe someone sick in body. But just raise your hand toward heaven and begin to call upon God and say, Lord, I'm believing You. I'm believing You, Lord, to move. I'm believing You, Lord, to work. I'm believing You, Lord, that You're greater than all the circumstance and all the situation. I believe, Lord. You are a great God. What a mighty God we serve. Heaven and earth adore Him. Angels bow before You. Come on. Come on, just reach out and believe God tonight. Stir my faith again. Stir my faith again, Lord, that I can believe. That I can believe. Stir my faith, Lord, again, that I can be used. Stir me, Lord. Stir me, Lord. Stir me, God. All things are possible. All things are possible. Come on, come on, believe God. All things are possible tonight. All things are possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let God touch you. I feel the Lord here right now. I feel the Lord here right now. Let Him touch you. Someone said, I'm waiting for you to lay hands. No, I'm talking about a God that's limited, that's unlimited. He can move without you. Someone laying hands on you. He's powerful. Let Him touch you. Let Him stir you. Let Him stretch your faith. Come on now. Let Him touch you. Our God, I'll go. Lord, stir me. I'll answer. Yes, Lord. Here I am. Lord, come on now. I'm believing. I'm stretching my faith to believe for a miracle. Here I am, Lord. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Reach out and let God touch you. Let God do something on the inside of you. Oh, Lord, I believe You, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I believe You, Jesus. Hallelujah, I believe You, Jesus. Hallelujah, I believe You, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, do you know this chorus? You know this one, I Feel Jesus? Do you know that chorus? You know that one tonight? I don't know what key you're in. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, I feel Jesus. I feel Jesus. Will I feel Jesus? All in this place. Before my soul does open within me. Will I feel Jesus holding this place? Do you feel Him tonight? I feel Him tonight. I feel Jesus. Will I feel Jesus? Will I feel Jesus? Will I this place for my soul open within me. I feel Jesus. For Him this, in this place. Oh yes, Lord. I feel
Jesus.
Oh, sing it now.
I feel Jesus.
Lord, I feel You tonight.
I feel Jesus.
Oh, please. Oh, for my soul. Go ahead and sing it now.
I feel Jesus.
Oh, I feel Jesus.
I feel Jesus.
Come on and believe the Lord tonight. Believe the Lord tonight. I feel
Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
In this place.
Oh, in this place. Oh, my soul. Agree on something, it shall be done. Do you believe that scripture? Now I want you to turn around to somebody and I want you to agree with them tonight and let's have a Holy Ghost prayer meeting for a second here. We've already prayed for our need, but now let's pray for somebody else. Let's agree with somebody else right near you and say, let me agree with you. Maybe it's your family member that needs saved. Maybe somebody needs healed. Let me agree with you tonight. Come on now. Let me agree with you tonight that God will meet that need and touch you. Can you say amen? Come on, turn around. Find somebody to pray with. Find somebody to pray with. Go ahead and find somebody to pray with tonight. Oh, find somebody to pray with tonight. Go ahead. Find somebody to pray with. Well, Jesus.
I
good way.
Oh, agree with him and believe God to touch and move upon the situation. God, you are able. God, you are able.
I feel Jesus.